Hey guys, welcome to
Crunchy
Tattooed
Mouse.
Thank you for being here and let's get started.
Ready? Okay, yeah. Hello, we're back.
Hey guys,
we're Crystal's back.
I'm back, guys. I'm sorry I took so many breaks.
Crystal is pregnant and moving into a new house, and she has two other little babies. They're not little babies, but young kids, and it's okay. You take the breaks you need.
Thank you. Everybody's so nice and understanding. I appreciate it. But it's always fun to have special guests.
Yeah, I think it's fun. It's fun to do, too.
Yeah, I sit up.
George said that, actually I hear it from multiple people that listen that they love hearing special guests. I mean, I'm sure they like us too, but special guests are exciting.
They're exciting, refreshing. I agree.
Cool. Okay. So we will start with self-care.
Alrighty.
What'd you do?
I can start. So I really want to get into juicing, juicing fruits and vegetables and all that jazz. But I don't really know too many recipes, and I'm kind of overwhelmed with what to do with what. So I downloaded this app called Fully Raw by Christina. Fully Raw. Well, she's fully raw. She eats only raw food. Mm-hmm. She's vegan. All that stuff. I'm not trying to do that, but I just really want to get into juicing. And she has some really awesome juice recipes and dinners and snacks and stuff. But I'm really excited about that app because I really, when you crave something, you feel like your body is deficient in something.
Yes.
I truly feel like my body's telling me it really wants some juice,
Good. Actually, that's so funny that you did that because one of my friends posted on her Snapchat story. Actually, it was Catalina.
Okay.
The one who made our design for anybody that doesn't know. She posted about all this juicing that she had just did, and I was so jealous. And she was giving some tips just because I make really good smoothies, but juicing not so much.
It's different.
So I'm gonna download that app because I crave juices, and now that it's gonna be summer, I'm definitely gonna need some.
I'm gonna have to follow Catalina on Snapchat.
Yeah, so I can see her too.
So how about you? What did you do for self-care?
Well, I've really been doing so many different herbal projects, and I'm really happy about this quarantine only because it has helped me focus so much on the herbs that so it kind of brought me back because I kind of lost touch with it a little bit just because life, but this was truly makes me happy. So the past week I've just been coming up with new products and things that they're not out yet, but they're coming, and I'm really, really stoked about it.
That is so exciting. I just, I bought off Kendra dandelion spearmint tea, and I'm going to try it today. I haven't tried it yet because I just got it. And I bought a tropical, is it body scrub or face scrub?
It's just a sugar scrub, so whatever you want to use it for.
Wherever I want to use it. Ooh, I'm so excited. It smells so good.
I love that scrub. It smells amazing. And your hands are so soft after.
Nice. I really need that.
Yeah,
so I'm really happy that you're going back to, I guess you can say, going back to your roots, where you initially began.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm stoked. It's been fun. And I've had a lot of support, which is amazing. I've had so many new customers and referrals, and everybody's been awesome. So I'm really excited about it.
Yay. I'm so happy.
Yeah. Okay. So today is the last, it'll be our last recording for April. And April is Autism Awareness Month. And for those of you who don't know, my daughter is, she was diagnosed with autism in January. And it's something I've probably touched base on, I think, in episodes, just briefly, because I wanted to save it for this episode. And we're just going to talk a little bit about that and then, how to support people that may have a child who's autistic. And I'm not an expert. I'm still learning, but I just want to share my personal experience with my daughter, with everybody. For those of you who do follow me, like on social media, I do have a blog that I have written in about her and her little journey. But it's important that I don't overshare too, because, you know, she will be an adult someday and I don't want her to think that I overshared her life as a young child. Uh-huh. But I do want to share it because it's important to me. So I actually, it's interesting. I'm in an autism group and some of the moms really can't stand the word awareness. They think that it should be autism acceptance, which I totally get, but I disagree, because I think there is so much awareness that people need still that, you know, I didn't really know anything about autism until I started recognizing signs in my daughter when I was like, you know, red flag, red flag. And I was like, what could this be? And, you know, here we are. So it's interesting that some people think that it should be acceptance, but really, you know, so many people are still unaware of what autism is. I mean,
I agree.
Do you really know anything about it? I mean, before
me. No. Me? No, because I personally don't know anyone with a child with autism or anything. This is my first time experiencing this, so I'm also trying to, like, look up ways that I can be there as a friend or help in any way that I can. So I think the word awareness is correct, because I want to be, you know, I want to have awareness brought to this as well.
Yeah, it's really important. I noticed this is so weird how my life ended up where it is right now, because I truly believe that the universe, does things on purpose and brings you on a certain path because, you know, it's what's meant to happen in your life. And when I became a CNA, I chose, like, the geriatric side of things rather than, you know, special needs, because I didn't think that I could emotionally handle it. It pulled on my heartstrings too much. Whereas, and not that the geriatrics, like the older population didn't, I was just able to handle it better. So it's very interesting how now my life is become, I have a special needs daughter. And I think that that was done on purpose from the universe. Like, hey, this is what your life's meant to be. So, you know, here we are. So a lot of people don't know what autism is, and I can give just like the basic definition, which is autism spectrum disorder. It's a complex developmental disability typically appearing during childhood and affecting a person's ability to communicate and interact with others. So what's interesting about this, when she was diagnosed, they told me, they're like, you know, we used to give kids a diagnosis like, you know, high functioning or low functioning. But they're like, that doesn't really make sense, because so many kids, like, for example, Kalila is so good with numbers and letters and like puzzles. Like it's incredible. It's just beyond her age and it's really mind blowing. But, you know, certain, like, she doesn't talk. I mean, that should be something a three-year-old is really avidly doing, and she's not really talking yet. So it's the spectrum disorder is a spectrum, essentially, obviously. there's so many different levels to it, and that's kind of why they change it to ASD instead of, you know, just, oh, high functioning, low functioning, blah, blah, blah. So I did want to talk about that, but I always see when Kalila turned one, before that, she was so, she was so on point with milestones. Like, she sat up at an early age. She was crawling. She did everything very fast. Which was mind blowing. I was like, oh, okay, wow, this girl's going to be really advanced. But that didn't happen. So, like, a year, she turned a year, and I was, like, worried because she really wasn't saying anything. Like, I obviously know a one-year-old isn't going to talk, but,
right.
I mean, she wasn't even, like, no mama, no dada, no nothing. So I was like, that's weird. And I would just, like, I would tell people because they're like, oh, what does she say? And I was like, what? She doesn't say anything. And then I became like, okay, she's not talking. And then everyone's like, well, you know, she goes at her own pace, blah, blah, blah. And this is something I've talked about in my blog. I don't, but it was like so frustrating to me. I don't know if you've had that where people are like, oh, is your kid doing this? Oh, is your kid doing that?
Yeah.
And you're just like,
oh. They start comparing.
Yeah. And it's so uncomfortable because, yeah, at that point, Kalila's like behind. But I know you just had this, like, with Santos, right? Like, he wasn't really, like, physically, he wasn't really walking, or it took him longer than most kids, right?
Yeah, that's what happened to me, too, with that. Oh, is he walking yet? No, he's not walking yet.
Right.
But I was just like, okay, well, boys are a little slower. Maybe he can walk once a year and a half comes. Like, I wasn't rushing it. But of course, I was like so anxious and excited for him to start walking. So we would practice and stuff like that. And he finally started walking about a couple weeks ago.
That's so exciting. And I mean, how old is he now?
He's 15. No, he's 16 months and a couple days.
So yeah, so, I mean, and that's like essentially what I told myself, you know, kids all go at their own pace.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally agreed with everyone. I was like, yeah, I know you're right, blah, blah, blah. But deep inside, I was like, no, something's off. But I let it go because she was only a year. So, you know, I let it, you know, keep going. And but she still wasn't making any progress. She wasn't making eye contact. She wasn't responding to her name. These are all things that I was like, okay, what the hell is going on here? Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. I have like a whole list of signs and symptoms of autism, but I'm not going to read them all just because it's a lot. But some things that, like, you know, I noticed with Kalila was, you know, not looking at things when I point at them, or she had no interest in playing with other kids. She didn't, like, if I went in the room and played alongside her, like, she didn't even notice I was there. Very in her own world. She doesn't really understand feelings. She's just not aware of a lot of, like, when people are talking, you know, like I mentioned, saying her name, she doesn't know how to pretend play so much. These are things that I noticed right away, and I'm like, okay. So I took the steps where I'm like, okay, so where do I start? Because that's like the biggest thing. This process was the most stressful thing in my life. And I'll never lie about that. Like, I don't know how some, like, I didn't think I was going to get through it. I was like, where do I even begin? Because where do you begin with that? You know, your kid doesn't tell you what they need. They're so little, you know, she can't describe or explain her emotions. Like, her tantrums were out of control. And I'm sure every mom can relate to those tantrums where you're like, oh my God, like, something is wrong. But it was just like all the time, like on the floor, just screaming and like hitting her head. And it was just, it was very, very intense. And it was like that all the time. Like anytime we went anywhere, anytime her routine was changed, I mean, it was exhausting. Yeah. And it's, I feel like it's one of those things where, okay, I'm noticing these things and now I have to do something. But it could have been easily ignored. You know, I mean, especially this was my first child. Like if I had, you know, three other kids prior to her, maybe I would have been like, well, you know, she'll catch on and she'll make her own progress and things happen when they need to. And, you know, I could have just ignored it. And I'm not saying that people are bad because they ignore things. But it definitely does, inhibit your child from developing how they could be. It's really sad, seeing that. I see a lot of posts all the time saying, okay, this is happening. My kid's this age, you know, what should I do? And I'm like, look, if you can get the help, get the help. The first step was to get, an established, you know, what's it called? Like plan. So someone came and assessed her. That was the first step. And that was easy. So I'm saying, like, if you notice something, why wouldn't you get that person in here and be like, hey, you know, if I can get this assessment, let's do it.
Yeah.
So that was my first thing. And it was super heartbreaking because, you know, they give percentages of how delayed your kid is. And it's very sad. You don't want to think of your child behind their peers. It's very, very heartbreaking. I still have a very hard time with it. But, you know, when she was diagnosed, they were like, you don't look surprised. I'm like, I'm not. I just knew it in my heart. You know, we went through a year and a half of, or not quite. We went through a year of, you know, speech therapy and developmental therapy, and now we're in occupational therapy. And it was hard, man. I mean, those therapists changed my life. I mean, they gave me tips and they helped Kalila so much. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, she's still not really talking, but she sings the ABCs and she sings Baby Shark all day. And yeah, and she says B-I-N-G-O over and over again.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, but man, that's progress to me, you know? It's just the little things that, I had somebody reach out to me. He's a parent. I'm not quite sure what his son has, but it's something similar. You know, he doesn't talk as much and, well, he didn't, but now he does. And he said, you know, the worst thing you could ever do as a parent is to compare your child to other kids their age. He's like, I'm telling you that it will ruin your life and cause you so much misery that you just won't be able to deal with it. So
yeah,
that was like one of the biggest pieces of advice I got. But I mean, it was a long road and I feel as if anybody's ever having problems, with their child, like, even if it is nothing, I mean, just get it checked out. There's no harm in it. Be that parent. Be extra. You know, I went through so many doctors trying to find the right one for Kalila. And I still don't feel like I found the right one. I just stuck with her for now because she actually has a daughter that's autistic. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stick with this. And I mean, do you have a pediatrician that you've gone to from, you know, when Carly was born till right now?
I do. Yeah. And when we switched insurances, I thought that I was going to have to switch doctors as well, but I didn't have to. So I was happy about that. We really like her. So I guess I'm lucky that I actually like her. I haven't had to change doctors.
You'll have to tell me when we get off who she is, because I've gone through, I mean, I went to a naturopath. So my experience with a naturopath, and this is not with all naturopaths because I truly believe in their practice. But the one I had experience with, I went and, you know, she started with a diet change. And I paid out of pocket for this doctor, so she was not cheap. And, you know, we don't have money like that to just be spending. So, but obviously we would do anything for Kalila. So, you know, we made it happen. And so we went there and she changed her diet, which seemed to help a little bit. And whatever, we did that. And then we went back and I'm like, you know, I think she, you know, I think she might be autistic. And these are my concerns. And she's like, oh no, she's not. She's just very much her own person, blah, blah, blah. She's just very in her own world. And, you know, she's kind of controlling mom and dad. That's kind of what she told. No, that is what she told me. She told me and George that she was controlling us. And I was like, what the fuck? First of all, that's what you're getting from these sessions. Like, I'm sorry, that doesn't, whatever. So after that appointment, her developmental therapist and her speech therapist both agreed that she needed occupational therapy because one of her biggest things is sensory input. She constantly needs input. So, you know, big tight squeezes and a compression vest and small spaces. Mm-hmm. She loves that kind of stuff. So to get her an OT, we had to get a doctor's order. So I called the doctor's office and I'm like, hey, you know, can you have so-and-so write the script out for me so Kalila can get OT? And I got an email back saying that she doesn't believe that she has a sensory disorder, so she's not writing it. And at this point, I had already gone through two pediatricians and a family doctor, and I was like at my wit's end because I'm just trying to do all I can for my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, she's in therapy. I think in the month of January, she had like 13 assessments and she was still having therapy 2 to 3 times a week. And I was just stressed to the max. I'm like, you know what? This is what she needs. And if she's not going to give it to her, I'm going to find somebody that's going to give it to her. I mean, like, I just want to encourage parents so much just to do whatever you feel you need to do as a parent, because I totally didn't want to be that person that was like, like just a pain in the ass. But dude, do anything for your kids, let me tell you.
Yeah. Wow. So, see, listening to everything you have to say, it's like someone who is not in that situation wouldn't know. Like, I wouldn't know all this if you hadn't have told me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because we're not going through it. So I'm so happy that you're sharing that with us so we have some insight into what it's like. And I actually, when I was researching, I got some tips offline in ways that I can be supportive of anyone, you, a parent with an autistic child. So I'm going to share those.
Yeah, that would be great. Because I know that was definitely hard for my friends and family because they didn't understand it. They don't understand what autism is. And I think that's a major part in supporting somebody.
Yeah. But in any occasion, if they, like, let's say I didn't know how to be supportive of you, could I just go up to you and ask you how? Like, how can I be supportive or what can I do?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, for sure. I think that's a valid question. I mean, say you were going through something that I have never been through. I would assume that you would know best way I could support you.
So the first one is being there. Number one is being there for you. It says, the diagnosis of autism pushes us and our kids into isolation. Mm-hmm. And it isn't like we want to be isolated, but we are sometimes so busy with autism-related activities and therapies and assessments, it just doesn't leave much time for anything else. So offering to come over to just get together and talk or have a cup of coffee or anything is one of the best ways you can help your friend get out of his or her autism bubble and combat the isolation.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's a great one.
Yeah. Another one is play dates with, in one of the articles I was reading, this mom said that she was having a play date with her friend, and the husband of the friend kind of kept looking at her funny, kept kind of like implying as if autism was contagious, his kids were going to get it or something like that. And he wasn't a fan of her kids and his kids hanging out together.
Yikes.
So
that's really sad.
That's very sad. So that was the last time that she ever made any effort in making a play date with that family.
Wow.
Yeah. I learned a new word today.
Did you?
It's called respite. Have you heard of it?
Say it again.
Respite.
It's hard to hear over the phone.
Oh, man. I would have pronounced it respite, but it's respite. It says help with respite. And I Googled, what is that? And it's kind of like how you've talked about before, when you get help from family and friends to come give you a little bit of rest time.
Oh my gosh, you know? Yes.
Like taking your baby just for a couple hours, or if you're comfortable overnight, like if it's a family member, you know, just so you can get some help and some rest, because I was reading that kids with autism sometimes have really hard time sleeping at night.
Yeah.
Does that happen to Kalila?
Yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes it makes for sleepless nights, you know?
Uh-huh.
So that would be a great way to help out.
Yeah, that's honestly, yes. I mean, anybody who offers to help, like, hey, drop her off here. Yup, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I'm coming.
Yeah, sometimes you just need that little break.
It's very exhausting.
I can see how... Because sometimes I feel a little guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I am receiving the help, like, I feel like I need to be rushed. Like, I need to rush and do this and this so that I don't, my kids aren't over there for so long, you know?
Yep.
So maybe saying something like, hey, no rush, take your time. She's going to be fine here and we're going to have so much fun.
Yeah, that's great. Because I'm with you. Like, if there's... Like, even taking a shower, I'm like, okay, gotta hurry up. I feel bad, but I'm not with her. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I agree. No showers. I take the quickest showers ever. I turn on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, put them on top of the bed. Okay, watch this. I'm going to go over and take a shower.
Yeah.
And then,
as fast as possible.
Yeah. The next one I have is don't judge. Some of us are instinctively know that we should not judge others, but it can happen easily.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just stare for too long, or maybe you just make a face and you don't even know it. Or, you know, like maybe the child is having a tantrum on the floor and you don't even know what to do. So I don't know, should I turn around? Should I just pretend like I'm not looking to not make it more uncomfortable, or should I go over there and help her and say, hey, you're not alone, it's okay? Like, I don't even know.
So, like, that's a really good point, because there's been times where she's had a fit and I kind of just let her do it. Like, well, this is what's happening and I'm gonna ignore it for this second, because sometimes it's very hard to know if, you know, she's being a three-year-old or if she's having, you know, an issue with her sensory, like, is it too loud or is there too much light or does she need to be squeezed? I mean, there's just so many unknowns, and the fact that she can't communicate that makes it even harder. So it's kind of just like, okay, I'm going to try this. Okay, I'm going to try this now. There's been times, like in the grocery store, I was checking out and someone said, wow, she's too old to be in diapers. And I was like, what the fuck? I literally looked at her and I was like, what? And she's like, oh, she's so
saying that.
She's like, she's so big. I was like, okay. This was before Kalila was diagnosed. So otherwise I would have just said it like, dude, this is what's happening. Like, mind your own business. just to make people uncomfortable, because that's exactly what people need to be put in their place. Like, make them uncomfortable. Like, they made you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I always see, I saw this status that kept getting shared about kids using a pacifier over the age of one. Like, I'm like, listen, you literally don't know what you're talking about, because there's so many kids that need, like, Kalila, that's like, she chews on it. So she like, uh-huh. she puts it on the side of her mouth and she'll chew on it because that's the sensory uh-huh. input she needs in that moment. Like, there's just so many things you don't know. And saying, someone said to me one time, well, she doesn't look like she has autism. I was like, what? I'm sorry. It doesn't look like anything. So I don't know. It's literally a brain. Like,
yeah.
It's just crazy the things people come up with. So yes, being there and just being understanding that you can't judge them. Just like you wouldn't judge anyone, any parent. I mean, they don't even have to have a disorder. Like, stop fucking judging everybody.
Some people are judgy that way.
It's terrible.
But we need to remind them that they need to mind their own fucking business.
That's exactly right.
Another one that I pointed out here is that you may keep... Like, I may keep asking you, hey, let's go out. Hey, let's go out. Hey, let's go here. Let's go there. But sometimes we may feel overwhelmed by everything that's going on, or it's just not a good time, or maybe we just feel guilty leaving our kids. So just because we always say no, like, don't stop asking.
Right.
Like, keep asking and keep reminding us that we're a valued friend and that our company is very much wanted.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have that problem, you know, and people don't know, and it's not fair for me to be like frustrated with people about it, but yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to take Kalila out in public. Like, I'd rather be at somebody's house or, you know, where it's comfortable and I can just leave when I'm ready. And, I'm very grateful that I do have friends that understand that and wouldn't put me in an uncomfortable situation. But, yeah, like, even going, I won't take Kalila anywhere unless, like, I have George. Like, it's very difficult for me. It's gotten better. Like, we could probably go to the grocery store now. I don't know, because I haven't taken her since the quarantine, but it's just, like, little things like that that, you know, most parents probably already have an issue with, but add this on top of it, and it's very, very difficult because they don't understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I get that too. I don't go anywhere. Well, okay, I've gotten better at it. But before this quarantine, I didn't like going anywhere with my kids by myself either.
Yeah, like, it's hard.
It just makes me anxious. Like, what if something happens, or what if they act out and I don't know what to do and I'm over here with two kids? And I don't know. It just freaks me out. So if I can wait for my husband to come home, and so I can go with myself, or I can send him, or we can go together, then I like that better than being by myself.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that's what I mean. It's every mom, you know, especially like, I feel like you and I were more anxiety. We have more anxiety. So it's going to be more like, oh my gosh, like, what if this happens? Oh gosh, stop looking at me. I mean, I'm an asshole and I'll probably say something, but we're not all like that. So it's like, it still gives me anxiety. I still don't want to take her out and have all this happen because I have no control over her, you know?
Yeah.
But.
I think I have one more, and I'll probably read this one word for word because I really like it. It says, believe and empathize. Be kind. Be patient. Be supportive. Put the able before the disabled. Things will be challenging sometimes, and that's okay. There will also be amazingly profound and wonderful moments too. This is a journey, and belief is a powerful thing. Having someone believe in you makes a difference.
Hell yeah.
I really like that one.
I love that too, because it truly does. Like, her therapist, for the longest time, they would be like, did you hear her say this? And I was like, what? They're like, she said this right now. Like, you know, she said red. I'm like, no, she didn't. And they're like, yes, she did. And I'm like, I don't know how you guys hear all this, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, you have to put words to what she's saying. That way maybe it'll come. Her vocabulary will come. And her therapists have like, I'm serious. They changed my life. They changed her life. They were so empowering. They encouraged me to be a better mom. One day, her speech therapist was here and she could just tell I've had it. And we put Kalila in timeout, a minute timeout. And we came out to the living room and she looked at me and she's like, are you okay? And I just started bawling and she just held me. She just held me. She's like, aww. I know this is so tough. She's like, but you're doing everything you can. And like that is just right there. It's like, okay, there's my recharge. I needed to hear that because this shit is hard. And I'm not putting myself in a special category. I think all moms need to hear that. All parents need to hear that because being a parent's hard, man. And we're all just trying to do the best we can taking care of our kids. And to not be judgmental of another situation is it's really inspiring. But I do like, I found a couple facts that I thought were interesting, which is, that 1 in 54 children has been identified with autism.
1 in 54?
1 in 54.
Oh, okay.
And then, so it's reported in all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. It's 4 times more common in boys than girls.
Oh,
I find that so fascinating. Yeah. So Khalil's going to have quite the selection of boys in her class. yeah, that's all I really have. I mean, there's so much data out there and statistics, and there is so much more to this, and I kind of just scraped the top of it, and it was kind of all over the place, but I really wanted people to understand, like, where I'm coming from. My blog is much better organized, I would say, with my thoughts, but just because there's so much to talk about, and you know, I don't have 3 hours to talk about this right now. Maybe another episode we can talk more about it, but
yeah,
it's really interesting, and I just kind of wanted people to understand and take the time, you know, if you know somebody with autism or a child with autism, take that time to research it a little bit. Understand how kids with autism work and how their brain functions. And because they're very, very smart kids, but they just don't have that social interaction or, you know, that we have. Like, they can't just have a normal conversation all the time.
Yeah.
I see so many, inspiring posts in this group that, you know, their kids go to college and these kids grow up and they're driving, and it's very inspiring. Aww. So, I mean, so much can happen. It's just a diagnosis and there's no limitations on it. I just want people to understand, you know, where others are coming from and, research awareness.
Yeah.
Awareness month.
I think this is a great topic, great episode. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your life with us.
Yes, of course. Thank you for seriously researching this to do this episode with me. Because I know you're not, you don't really know a lot about it, but you still sat here and listened to me. And thank you.
Yeah, I'm trying.
We're all learning. I'm still learning so much. There's still so much I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you everybody for being here with us.
Yes. Thank you. Reach out if you have any questions or just want to chat. We're always down to chat.
Why don't you tell us the name of your blog in case people want to read it?
Oh yeah, that's great. It's on Wix, W-I-X, and the blog is called Dark to Light. Yeah, dark to light. It's on my Instagram page in my bio. Kendra Weeks Puga.
Oh, perfect. They can just click it.
Yep. Yep, it's in my bio there. So if you want to check it out, guys. Feel free. There's quite a few. It's mainly mental health and autism. So, but it's good stuff and it's organized.
All right. Well, hopefully we all get to hear and see/laugh with each other next week.
Yes, yes,
yes. We'll
like
know what the topic is.
We don't know yet, but it'll be something good.
It'll be something
maybe
good.
Maybe it'll be something funny. Maybe you guys should send us ideas for something funny.
That would be awesome.
That'd be fun. We need to lighten the mood.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right, guys.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.